All right, welcome in. Hope everyone is having a fantastic Saturday. This is the Bite Me Fishing Show. I'm glad you could join us with Captain Scott Null, Captain Dean Thomas, and Captain Caleb McCumber. I am John Lopez. Right out of the chute here, I want to remind everyone to get to the Bite Me Facebook group page where you can join a fantastic community of nearly 12,000 fishermen just like you. And you can RSVP for the Feeding Frenzy August 29th and even get in on a chance to win a trip with Captain Dean the day before the Feeding Frenzy via a mere $10 pre-frenzy raffle ticket. Okay, let's get into the way I put this. I'm calling it the power of trying something new. And the topic is really about being humble enough to learn and experiment. Dean and Scott, you guys have learned from each other and from others over the years, some old timers, as I mentioned, from each other. I've learned from everybody I've ever fished with, but people tend to fall into a rut like, this is my rod, this is my reel, this is how I fish, this is where I go. Hell, my wife is a good example. 37 years, never fished. All of a sudden, hey, we're going nearshore. So the power of trying something new, Dean, I'm going to start with you because we do tend to fall into ruts, and that can be a big, big kind of setback, if you will, if you don't try other things, right?
Well, I mean, I'm really set in my ways on my lure selection. People ask me all the time about, you know, the Spook Juniors and the soft plastics, the K-Wigs that I use. But I have people come on the boat with me and they bring a variety of things. And I see other things that work as well. And yeah, I mean, I pick up on a lot from my clients just from experimenting with different lures. Things that you would never expect. Had some guys from Idaho come down with me and they fish on the, I think it's the Snake River that runs through Idaho. And these guys were big on smallmouths and such as that. And they fished with the suspending stick baits, like and I forget what they call it, but it was like a twitch bait. It just suspends a pen, looked like a pencil bait, just not a lot to it. And he, in the same place that we were catching speckled trout on the soft plastics, it was just his thing, man. He was comfortable with it. And he went toe-to-toe with the soft plastics with that twitch bait as well as I've seen anything do. So, you know, experimenting, trying different stuff, you never know.
And not forgetting.
Yeah, fishing with people, going out with different people and getting different aspects is always a great idea.
You know, and also kind of revisiting some things that have worked in the past. Scott, I want you to talk about like maybe trying new tactics, new areas, you know, that in your own area that you maybe haven't tried. But my son was with me about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And he's a Lili freak. He loves that old Lili. I haven't thrown one in 10 years. And he caught two big old redfish on a Lili right there on those flats. And so last week, guess what I did? I said, you know what? I'm going to try this old sucker again. I don't think I caught anything on that. The other thing that you guys know me and you give me a hard time about is the popping cork. You know, down on those flats, you know, Scott, you'd really, other than live bait, you really don't see a lot of popping cork action, a lot of topwaters, a lot of lures, you know, plastics down low. I've caught some fish on some of those deeper holes getting back to my popping cork here and there. I usually throw topwaters and plastics, but I've tried it and caught some fish. But what about, Scott, like different things you're going to try and getting out of your comfort zone? I guess that's what we're really talking about here.
Dealing with Mark over at DOA, looking at some of those lures, you know, I've looked at them for years, the Terrorize. It looks like absolutely nothing. It looks like the bait buster. Bait buster does not look like a fish catching lure to me. You know, when you just look at it in the package, you throw it in the water and the damn thing just comes alive. It wiggles. But for the longest time, I wasn't throwing them. And I was having a hard time with some tarpon, you know, that weren't eating. And I got talking to Mark about it because he's on tarpon all the time in Florida. And we BSing about it. He said, well, have you tried this? Have you tried that? Have you tried this? No, I hadn't. You need to. Do it and do it this way. And I'll be damn, it worked. You know, I mean, and now that's pretty much all I've got tied on. The guys I've had on the boat the last 2 days, we've been throwing those Terrorize, bouncing them on the rocks. And I would have never done that in the past. And we're catching trout. We're catching, you know, ladyfish, trout. Hell, we hooked a, something big today. It was either a snook or a tarpon on one of those, that little bitty terror eyes. Mm-hmm. And chewed through the line before we could get it landed. But those are the kind of things that I end up picking up from other people. It's lures that I've looked past for years and then had somebody come along and say, man, you really need to try this. You know, when I'm slumping, you know, you need a slump buster. And okay, I'll give it a try. Nothing else is working for me right now. And that's usually when I pick up something new and fall in love with it.
Mm-hmm. Another one that's killer on the flats that I've seen do very well that I don't use that often is a wake bait. Just like a super shallow runner that is the simplest lure to fish with. You just throw it out there and reel it in, and it just puts all the action in the water. And man, I've seen that thing just destroy on days. But it's not one that's in my main arsenal. You know, I have some in there. I rarely take them out with me, but it is a killer, man. It runs right above the grass, tons of action in the water. And there's no wrong way to do it. You just throw it out and reel it in.
That gold reminds spin, me.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The I don't throw gold spin very often. I know I should, but I don't. Dean, you reminded me, and I'm not ashamed to say this because we're always learning. That's the whole point of this topic. I've only been throwing crankbaits on the jetties for about 5 or 6 years. Those are killer.
The rattle traps went through. Yeah. The rattle traps had an era where they just went. They had a popular moment there. The only problem with the crankbaits and those things with a lip in my area is we have a lot of grass, a lot of floating grass, and they do catch grass. So in the summertime, that can be a bit.
Yeah,
of
I'm
a
talking
hassle.
On the jetties. I use them almost exclusively.
Yeah, yeah,
on
the jetties and the jetties and the surf, man. The rattle traps, like a chrome rattle trap in the surf. You can throw it a mile, and there's no wrong way to retrieve it, man. You just throw it out there. And it has this natural swimming action, puts a lot of flash and noise in the water, and it's got all the ingredients you look for.
And Scott, you when you're looking for some of those mangrove snapper, aren't you basically jigging at the jetties?
Yeah, yeah, just
and that's another thing.
Yeah, bouncing off the bottom. Yeah, you know, bounce a little small jig of some kind off the bottom if we're not throwing live shrimp at them, but. That's another thing. Yeah, I go back to that terrorize. It's just, it's super heavy, really small, and it, you know, it goes down quick. It cuts through the current, and it just works. And I cannot tell you for the life of me why. You know, we all look for soft plastics that got a lot of action, you know, spaddle, you know, paddle tails, rat tails, all
that. You're kind of conditioned.
Yeah. This thing does not look like it's got any action, but I can't explain it, but it works.
And John said it right there, man. You're conditioned. You get in familiar habits, and you catch a fish. You want to duplicate that, so you kind of stick with it. But experimenting with different stuff will quite often pay off with a fish as well.
Well, speaking of experimenting with different stuff, this is one that Dean sent us, and we're talking about some of these apps. What you can believe, what you can't believe. There's a lot of tracking out there on the internet, and that's where I wanted to start, Dean. I want to start with you on this, but one thing that I have found, we're always searching for fishing gear, fishing line, whatever, and all of a sudden you start getting tracked by these big companies that have these can't miss. You'll find, you know what I'm talking about. You'll find a redfish in 15 seconds. And all this other stuff. I'm sure you guys have been tracked like that too. And I'm like, all right, so it's a good topic. I'm glad you sent it, Dean. You know, the apps that you can believe, you can't believe. What are we looking at here, man? What should we do?
Man, we have a lot of conversation on the boat when we're fishing. You know, guys are always asking me, did you see this? Did you see that? Do you use this? What do you think about that? And some of these, I mean, they're actually, it's marketing in general. I mean, fishermen, fishing is marketed to fishermen, so there is a lot of information out there. Trends come and go over the years. Right now, the fishing apps are everywhere. for $49.95 you can per month. You can do that. And so guy came on the boat with me and the other day, and he was actually showing me what he paid for, where these highlighted areas were. And it was so
general. Well, we can say it. I mean, no offense. It's salt strong,
right? I could take a map. Yeah. I could take any map and draw circles around islands and say, this is good. Fish here. And it's plausible, and it, but it's very general. And it's some of these, you have to consider the source is what I came up with. A lot of these are created by someone in North Carolina or someone anywhere else that is taking a map of Texas, and they're basically selling their lures. They're selling their product via this app and telling you that these are the spots to fish. These stories have been told since the beginning of time, before there was an internet. These stories were written in magazines, how to catch a speckled trout, where to catch a redfish, what lures to use at these times. So it's just the current trend of where to get your fishing information. The apps that I have come across are so general and vague that, of course, it's plausible.
Of course it is, but let's share some info on apps you definitely trust next here on Sports Radio 610. Okay, welcome back. Glad you could join us here on the Bite Me Fishing Show. We're talking apps. Finish your thought, though, on what we see a lot out there, Dean, and we'll get into some we definitely trust.
You have to consider the source. Who is giving you this information? Do they actually fish out there? Have they actually caught a fish here? Or did they just take a map and highlight some circles and sell it to you for $49.95 a month? And next month, they're going to give you another map that has some circles on it and some dots that say, you want to catch a trout? Well, of course you can catch trout in all of those areas. There's no fences out there that keep fish in or out of areas. But if you follow along with locals, you know, our podcast here is weekly. It's up to date. It follows very specific trends and such as that. So,
I mean, we say, what would Dean do? What would Scott do every week?
Yeah.
And you're, and you have been on the water, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So the apps that people have like shown me with the data, I mean, I hate, here we go. I'm going to hurt somebody. I'm trying real hard not to hurt.
Don't worry about it. It's impossible. It's impossible. Spill the beans, Dean. Remember, we tell all on this podcast.
The dude that showed me the app the other day, I'm like, can you get your money back? Because you probably should.
Yeah. The same guy sent it to me first before he talked to you. And I'm looking at it and I was shaking my head about it. I was like, that's not what I would do if I went over there. I said, I tell you what, why don't you get with Dean and check in with Dean and see what he has to say about it.
I mean, there was basically a circle from Harbor Island, which is all the way to Port Aransas, to Aransas Pass. It's like 6 miles, and it highlighted all of the spoil
islands. I bet you can catch a fish
the
there.
Channel. And it's
even
circled
catch
Hog
fish
Island.
There.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. who wouldn't fish there? Of course we would fish there. We fish there all the time.
Here lately, I've seen that advertisement of this is the app the guides use to find redfish. I don't know a single guide that uses that app. Honestly,
no.
I do not know anybody that uses that app that's a guide. And that's not how we find redfish. Yeah, that's not.
Yeah,
it's sales, folks, and
yeah,
I don't want to hurt anybody's sales. I don't want to, you know, cause anybody not to do it.
Hey, make your money.
Go make your money, but don't do it on the backs of guides saying this is what guides use.
And we're going to tell our podcast listeners, you know, what we really think. Here's Scott. Here's how I use four things more than anything else, and the question I always ask myself, not just in fishing, is what's the motivation behind this? I use Google Earth because there is no motivation behind it. It's Google Earth. It can be updated. It is updated quite often. And that's usually if I'm going somewhere I don't know. I use Fish Angler. Again, these are unpaid endorsements here, man. Fish Angler app. I just think it's trustworthy. I pay, it's not $49.95 a month. I think it's like $9. And they have everything I need. I use my boat's Simrad. like when I get to the boat early, Scott, excuse me, Dean, you've seen me do this. I'm like, well, here's the tide right now. Here's the, you know, here's what's going on. It's on your boat in real time. It's on your boat in real time. And then so
I posted on the Facebook page the other day, the NOAA link.
Yeah, that's the other one I use, NOAA.
That has that. So if you take that NOAA app and you take the Salooner table and look at the major feeding periods and you look at the depth of those, of that tide at that specific time, to me, that makes more sense than any other information you're going to gather in its simplest form.
Yeah.
That's where I start. Yeah. I mean, that's where I start my search.
Google Earth, Fish Angler, NOAA, my own Simrad on my boat on the water, which I think is the most reliable. And then I use Windfinder. And I'm going to start using that Weather Underground because Dean always has really good weather wind forecasts. And I've been a little bit off on some of mine, even those that I just mentioned. So I've had it on my phone for years.
Another thing, when you're looking at the wind forecast, use a city that's on the coast that is right on the water. The wind, if you look
not
at
on a deer lease.
No. Look at the difference between Aransas Pass and Port Aransas. 6 miles, or look at Rockport and look at Port Aransas. The wind in Rockport, the wind forecast for Rockport is going to be very different than the wind on the water. So I use the Port Aransas forecast for the wind because I'm going to be on the water, and there's always going to be more wind as soon as you turn around that corner out of the marina than there is on land. So, I mean, if you're in Galveston, you know, use a station that is right out at the jetties. If you're down south, you know, and that NOAA app has hundreds of stations up and down the coast. So it's the entire country you can go to. Choose one that is in the windiest spot you can find. Sometimes I think the prediction for Aransas Pass is in a garage behind a carport somewhere behind a tree, because there is no way that is relative to what you're going to encounter when you go around.
Go ahead, Scott. I know you got something
out of the marina.
I mean, there's times when I look at the one for Port O'Connor and I'm just wondering, I want to go find it. I want to go look. Is it behind
a where is that? Yeah.
I mean, because the other day, I mean, it is whistling. It literally whistling in the my rods are sitting there in the rod holders while I'm waiting on customers, and it's whistling.
And we all know that sound.
And the one on Port O'Connor says 6 miles an hour. Fishing line don't whistle at 6 miles an hour. I'm sorry, but I don't know where the hell that mark that thing is, but it ain't a good spot to pick up a south wind.
It's at the Buc-ee's back in the back somewhere.
It's inside the Buc-ee's. By the way, I got a text on my bat phone here, someone listening, and I won't mention her name, but Carrie wrote, Dean never tries hard to not hurt people's feelings. That is a first for him. Again, I won't mention Carrie's name on that, but that's what I got on the bat phone. So what got into you, Dean?
I've been accused on many levels. I'm trying to change my ways. I'm trying real hard here.
And
I'll probably get over it. I'll get over it pretty soon, though.
And Old City Life says that this weekend, thanks to you guys, he finally figured it out, at least for that day. Felt great. Looked for areas that had something in common and not an actual spot. That's why we're here, man. That Dean and Scott are not in their head. It's why we love to do this, and why we like it. All right, so let's get to. I'm going to skip to the topic that I texted you guys, because I think it actually fits with this a little more, and it's about redfish. I'll just read it. Scott, you're up first. Got a question regarding pods/schools of redfish. Over the years, I've been far back in a marsh and have seen a few schools in the same small creek that connects two large flats. Okay. And the creek is probably 2 or 3 feet at its deepest. These schools are chasing bait and shrimp along the shoreline. I would assume there are probably different sized redfish in that school. If so, where would the larger fish likely be? The lead fish in the middle, the back, or underneath? And when I got this text, I went, I don't know about that, but what do you say, Scott? Let's get the answer to that next here on the Bite Me Fishing Show on Sports Radio 610. Okay, we're back talking about schooling pods of redfish and how to approach them. But I do want to mention here, OGSauce.com. Haven't mentioned it in a while. And you can get there like a lot of listeners have and pick up some cool Bite Me gear like hooded dry fit and logoed Bite Me Fishing shirts, stickers, caps, and, of course, OG Sauce, which, of course, folks have absolutely loved. I get messages about it all the time. It's really good. Get there, OGSauce.com. Okay, Scott, you see a pot of redfish. How do you approach it?
They're almost always about the same size within an inch.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
I mean, when I was tournament fishing, if I caught, you know, I saw a school and I threw in there and I caught a 21, 22-inch fish. I threw in there, I caught another 22-inch fish. I moved on. Mm-hmm. You know, because every fish in that school is going to be about the same size. The only time I found that that was different was after a real hard cold front in the winter. Those fallout tides that we talk about when the marsh drains and then you've got some deep holes. Every fish in the marsh falls off into the same deep hole. When they come out of those, they can be a mixed school.
Okay.
That's the only time that you'll ever find a really mixed up school where you might catch a 28 and a 21 back to back. Other than that, the summertime schools, the early fall schools, before we've had any good cold fronts to drop the tides out, they're all going to be the exact same size. They grew up together. They hang out together. Classes in session. You know, they didn't skip school and fall back in a grade. You know, they're just not going to hang out with a bigger or smaller fish for whatever reason. And kind of the same thing with trout. You know, for the most part, you will occasionally find bigger trout underneath schoolie trout, you know, if you drop a heavier jig through them, but it doesn't happen with redfish very often. I'm not going to say it never happens because there is no never in fishing, but the majority of the time when I was seriously looking for big fish for tournaments, if I found 21, 22s in the first couple of casts, I moved on, go find something
better. Yeah. Now, Dean, here's as much as I agreed with Scott, because I was like, as soon as I heard that, read that text, let's talk about maybe an exception here and tell me if I'm wrong. When you are drifting a flat, that you do come across small, different, you know, kind of wayward type redfish, you see them skirt by the boat. It's not necessarily a quote school. Now, in schools, what Scott said is 100% right. But when you're drifting along flat, if you catch a 20, and this happened to me and the last time I was out, you catch a 20-inch redfish, 5 minutes later, you can catch 28 because you're actually moving.
Well, that's a very different scenario than the question, than the school. But yes, when they're schooled up, of course, they're all going to be, totally agree with Scott, they're all going to be in the same size. But drifting the flats, when you're covering a mile, even 2 miles someday, they are really widely scattered and dispersed over that flat. And when they're singled out, you can catch a little 16-inch rat red, and then on the next cast, you catch a 27 or a 28.
Yeah.
So they do, there's a lot of variety to that. And when you have a pile of them, when they're in a school, they're always going to be the same size. Drifting the flats, hitting different sand holes, it's just a different scenario, different type of game there where, yes, any cast has potential for a big fish or a little baby fish.
A little baby fish.
I mean, we see that. We watch that play out every day on these flats. You can catch speckled trout that you love their ambition. They're barely bigger than the lure, but they will destroy that thing.
Yeah.
And then you'll have a giant red or a beautiful trout that will barely blow up on it, that will just kind of smack it. So it's there's more variety in that scenario.
When he said the little bitty baby fish, Dean was behind me in Florida, and I had this snook. This little bitty baby snook was just, I mean, busting the hell out of this topwater, knocking it out. I couldn't tell how big he was, though. And he's just knocking it out of the water, all the way down this creek. I didn't even know Dean was behind me. I was locked in on this fish. I bet he hit it 15 times coming down through there and could not get it in his mouth. Finally, he gets it in there, makes a little jump, comes to me, and the little thing, 8-9 inches tops. I mean, my topwater was damn near as big as him. And I, then from behind me, I hear, it's their attitude that gets them in trouble.
Well, that fish and all of us, too, no question.
I thought he was going to tell that story about that day when we were catching snook, and then I hooked into something, and I was like, oh, my God. Oh, Lord, it's the big one. Oh, Lord. And I was just going on, and, yeah, it was like, I don't remember what it was, but it was a gap top.
I don't remember exactly what it was.
Was it a gap top? I knew it was something very uneventful. And then I just kind of turned my back and unhooked it before.
You got it on the side.
The
whole time he's catching this fish, he's like, hey, man, get over here. Come take my picture. So I put my stuff down, paddle over there to him so I could take his picture. And then he won't even turn around and look at me. He's like shaking
his picture
head.
Of my back.
Speaking of story time, we're going to get to that, but I got to tell a quick story. It's not even a story, but my most embarrassing moments fishing with other people are always the same thing. Like, let's say we're catching some small trout, okay? And you catch a little 14-inch trout, little 15-inch trout, whatever. And then finally you hook one that's, as Dean said, has a better attitude. And I always do the same. I'm such an idiot. I always just say, that's a better one because it hit harder. And then I reel it in, another 14-inch trout. I'm like, that's the one. Like, my most embarrassing moments fishing with buddies is when you think, all right, that's a better one. No, it's not.
Not an uncommon scenario.
No, trust me, I know. I've done it with both of you guys. That's a better one. Famous last words. So let's get to story time. We'll skip the snook question.
Hey, man, just for the record, gaff top is a tough-ass fish, man.
Oh, hell yeah.
Just for
hell
the yeah.
record. Should have taken a picture.
Just for my dignity. It was a very impressive gaff top.
It was a star tournament quality gaff top. Right now is the first ever hotter than hell sale. So the question came up about sometimes you just have to be uncomfortable, whether it's heat, and I think we're talking more wind when we get to your stories, or cold or something like that. But want to hear at least one good story. Think about it while I'm finishing the question here, guys. The best days you guys have ever had in uncomfortable condition, waves, cold, heat, time of day, environment, or whatever. I'm looking at y'all's faces. I can generally read them. I think Dean has one right on the tip
of
his
tongue.
The best day you've ever had with cold. Completely uncomfortable.
Cold, but the fish are biting, man. That's
We'll share with the class. Give me a story.
Well, I mean, it's just, I mean, I dress like an Eskimo in the winter. I mean, I dress for success. in the winter. And I look like the Michelin man out there bundled up. I'm from the tropics, man. I don't function well in that stuff.
Yeah.
But and you go out there if you want to get those big trout, if you want to target them consistently, the trout are going to be there in the cold wind. I mean, and you can catch them all year. You can't say that it's just that. But I'm just not a fan. Any fish that I've caught in the cold was a challenge for me.
Here's my story, and it's happened multiple times, Scott, before you get to yours. Wade fishing in the winter, February, it's cold, and I got a little pinhole in my waders, and I just refuse to get out of the water, and man, my feet or foot start getting cold. Then it starts inching up your leg a little bit, and I'm just like, I am numb. My toes are blue. But I'm in the water. That would be one, and obviously a lot of wind and waves and stuff, but what comes to mind for your story here on the most uncomfortable where you actually killed them?
Well, Dean knows him, Adam Hahn. You remember old Adam?
Mm-hmm.
He had just come back from a deployment. He's an airborne.
Oh, yeah. Adam T. Hahn.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Adam. And he'd come back from a deployment, and his dad was going to meet him in Louisiana to fish with me on guiding over there.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming over there, and it is the coldest of the cold. I'm there for January and February. It's cold the whole time.
Yeah.
For the most part. It's freaking cold. I mean, miserable. They don't want to call it off because they haven't seen each other. You know, he's been on deployment. I want to make a good trip for the kid because he's, you know, because he's been on deployment. I want to, you know, I want to show him a good time.
Yeah.
So I button up, and I mean, I got every damn thing I can wear on, and I'm pulling this skiff. It's blowing. It's cold. There's sleet hitting on my shoulders from time to time. It is nasty, miserable. His dad huddles up and lays down in the bottom of the boat. Doesn't even finish. He just curls up like in the bottom of the boat. If he could have started a fire in the bottom of a boat, he would have. He ain't said a word for hours. Adam is up there fishing like a damn fool and catching fish one after the
other. And you're freezing.
I'm frozen. I'm a popsicle up on the polling platform. I can't even feel the push pole, but I can't stop. I mean, we're having a good day. I mean, we're catching the hell out of fish. I don't know why, but we're catching fish. Fish God shined on him, and we're having a good time. And finally, the sleet is picking up. It's getting
cold. Lord.
And it's bouncing, you know, it's like bouncing off my shoulders. It's sleeting enough. And finally, Adam turns around and says, "Well, I think I've had enough, guys." And this is the first thing his dad has said in like hours. I thought he was passed out, maybe dead. I don't know. His dad from the floor of the boat goes, "Thank God." There was no way he was going to say, "Let's quit." I wasn't going to say, "Let's quit." We were just not going to.
I mean, think about it. No way.
Neither hey, I was with ever Scott
quit until he said, "Let's go."
I was with you in Grand Isle on one fishing trip where it was so cold, and we were out there, and those giant bulls were just boiling. Boom. I could give a damn what those fish were doing that day. And we just kept fishing and fishing. And finally, I hooked one, and I landed it, and that's what I said. I was like, "Can we go home now?" It's like, "Can we please?" And there ain't much to do in Grand Isle.
So you might as well be fishing.
Me and Scott sitting in the cabin, it gets unentertaining real quick. And we spent 2 days sitting in that damn cabin. I was like, "Please don't make me go fishing again."
Anything but fishing.
Please.
All right, coming up, let's get to what the fellas are going to do the rest of this weekend, given the conditions we're looking at, plus a couple of hacks you can use to make fishing and cleaning your reels just a little bit easier. That's next right here on Sports Radio 610. All right, welcome back to the fishing show, the Bite Me Fishing Show. So what's in store for the weekend, fellas?
Tomorrow I'm kayak fishing. I got one more day before I head up to the big city. So tomorrow, speaking of Lighthouse Lakes, and I don't know, I might head over to B&R tomorrow because we do have that south wind. The tide is super low in the afternoon and the evening, but it's coming in strong in the mornings. Forward to that. Actually looking forward to taking a little break from fishing. I've been going nonstop for 30-plus days. It's been nonstop. But kayaking tomorrow, I mean, it's that time of year where, you know, you expect a challenge, but we're going to give it a shot, see how it goes. The wind is going to be a little breezy for that tomorrow, too.
Yeah, you better bring a drift bag for your
on your kayak.
Well, I prefer the anchor on the kayak because even with a drift sock, I mean, I like to park it. I like to sit in one spot, put the anchor out, work it very thoroughly, pick up the anchor, move a short distance, and park again. Because if you drift downwind, all you did was earn yourself a paddle back to where it all started. So the thing about kayaking, it's very methodical. I mean, in the skiff, we pass over miles and miles of grass and sand bed. And in the kayak, every little detail matters. I mean, every single spot, you try not to miss any opportunity. So it's just, it's a slower, methodical approach to the kayak.
I'm so damn tired of this wind and stuff.
That's the only insight. That's insight you can only get here.
Yeah. I mean, tomorrow morning at daylight, it's 19 gusting to 28. I mean, good Lord. What do you do with that? You know, I mean, it's just going to blow. And it lightens up some through the weekend. I mean, it's southeast. 18 to 23, you know, 15 to 25. I would go find a shoreline with some protection where I can throw with the wind at my back so I can make some good long casts, get on a drop off with this heat and all the hot water, and try to fish a thermocline off of a drop off mm-hmm. somewhere. By wading, you can stand in one spot. You're not drifting. That's about the best I can come up with. The tides have just been stupid low. I mean, there's places that are dry right now that I don't ever see, except in January and February after a cold front. It's extremely low. I told Camille when I came in today, I said, I went out this morning on a high tide, and it looked like low tide. It was the peak of the high tide, and it still looked like a bad low tide. And then mm-hmm. the tide fell out. So,
It's 0.0 right now.
Yeah. Don't expect to go out there and find your favorite flat covered up with water and lively with a bunch of fish. It could happen, but I would venture more out into drop-offs, maybe fishing some deeper reefs out in open water like Matagorda, you know, fishing the middle of Matagorda Bay, hitting those reefs. The jetties actually have paid off pretty well for me the last couple of days. We've caught, like I was talking about earlier, some trout, some reds. That might not be a bad way to go. Saw some live bait guys at the jetties today, and they looked like they were doing okay. I couldn't tell what exactly they were catching. But,
I hate to disrespect the weekenders.
The weekday challenged?
But the Monday, if you're looking at the long term, man, Monday and Tuesday are back to kingfish action at the jetties.
Oh, Lord, don't make me take a day off.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's hard to trust the forecast that far out, but this wind is not going to blow. This is just one of those little blips on the in the program.
Like getting those good days in March.
Next week, we'll be back at it full speed.
Appreciation for our listeners for making this podcast just a monster that it is. And we're very happy that you did and very proud of it. And for Texas Boys Outdoors, they do literally every week.
I teased something on the board. You know, we were talking, that topic of real wash came up, and one of the guys I've confirmed that it's Windex. Well, I've confirmed it is not Windex. I actually talked to the guy who sells it put the stuff together, and I said, what points would you like for me to make about this stuff? You know, what's in it? I don't want to give away any secrets or anything. And so he just sent me a text and said, number one, Real Wash has synthetic corrosion inhibitors. Windex does not. Mm-hmm. Real Wash chemicals are mixed with distilled water, not purified tap water. The purified tap water in Windex has a salt content. Real Wash's main chemical is a cleaning agent, which is used in injection mold cleaning of metal and plastics. Mm-hmm. Real Wash is 10% ammonia, while Windex is 1%. I knew that. I knew it was way more ammonia in it. And Real Wash is 2% isopropanol. So alcohol.
So all I know is it works. It's a go-to, man.
I said earlier, I've got salt all over my reels after these trips, you know, with as salty as the water is right now. And I'm just spraying it down with that stuff, and the salt just kind of melts away, and then I do a light rinse on it, and it's gone.
I wonder if that would clean the cowling on my motor, if it would clean that.
It cleans all kind of stuff.
It's worth a try.
I use it on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got about an inch of salt on my cowling of my engine right now that I can't chip that stuff off of there.
Maybe it'd loosen it up at least.
When you get the sticky stuff on something after you peel a sticker off, use that Real Wash on there, man.
Oh man, that's a great idea.
I've used it a bunch for that.
Yeah, so, that's a great idea. I could have used that this week. I was making some leaders and stuff for those Rapalas, those Magnums, Dean. And you know those big Costco pretzel jugs? They're plastic.
Yeah.
What I'm doing? This is. I'm so proud of myself for this. So I can just grab the thing. What I'm doing is I'm making the leader, hooking the leader onto the lure, putting it back. I make a little slit in the box so the leader can go through it. And then I put it back in the box, and I just drop those things into that big jug.
There you go.
That way I don't have to try anything, I can just grab the next one and go. So see there?
There you go. Mexican
ingenuity right there.
There you go. Hey.
My people are very ingenious on things like that. I'll show you. I'm going to take a picture. I'll show you. It was because I'm like, I don't want to be, I'm not good enough to be tying all these leaders on the boat and you're rocking. So I'm going to send you that. It works. Works like a champ. But in the meantime, stay where you are because hour two is coming up, including let's go down south. How about the Lower Laguna Madre and a nice conversation with Captain Aaron Cisneros when we get to Geared Up, presented by Anglers Anonymous. That's coming up here on Sports Radio 610.